just start where, with what Morgan was sharing there. I'll just see. Like, I want to say a hearty amen to that. And we have to be asking ourselves the question almost continually, are we all in? Are we all in? And almost determine on a daily basis, yes, I'm all in. And whatever that means, and whatever it is the Lord is pointing out, and whatever it is that all of a sudden my eyes are open to today that they weren't open to yesterday. And Lord, you can put your hand on anything. You can point out anything. You can touch anything. And just show me how to be more all in. And I think it's this place of, at least I've seen in my life, where I can truly and honestly say I'm all in today, right? Like, I'm all in. And then tomorrow my eyes are opened to how yesterday I wasn't all in. And yes, I was all in, but I wasn't all in. And because God just keeps on revealing things. And, you know, it's easy to say, Lord, put your hand on anything. It's easy to say it. And we've had a few people come to us and say, you know, if the Lord ever shows you anything about our life, you have permission to speak into our lives, and you have permission to talk about it. We've had a few people say that, and I thank you for that. That's great. But and I know that Randy and Darla have talked about that before, and it's like this place of, really? Like, really? Do you really want that? And we have found that at times people, yes, they really want that, and at other times, no, they really didn't want that, and they let me know it. But it's this place of, Lord, yeah, anything, because I want to draw close to you. Correct me. Show me, reveal, just open our eyes, because we want to draw close. And it's, you know, that picture that Morgan gave of everyone in the huddle and hands in and then break. It's almost like that has to happen, again, every day. Every moment. You know, I shared with before where, you know, Andrew and I, we were talking about worship, and the reason it kind of came up is because Carlene was listening to some music from Bethel on the computer, and so you don't just listen, you can also see, right? You have the video, and the one lady was leading worship. Stephanie Gretzing. Okay. And if you've never seen her worship, you've probably heard her, but if you've never seen her, it's also something to see her worship, because she is into worship. Like, she is worshiping God, body, soul, and spirit. She is all in. Like, all in. Now, if you talked with her, she would probably, like, knowing the Christian walk and knowing how we all are, she would probably say, no, I need to give more to God. Mm-hmm. I'm not giving. Like, there's more to give. There's more that God has to work on me. And just hearing from different people, godly men and women over the years, that's just a theme. You know, Billy Graham would have said, no, I didn't give enough. I could have given more, you know. And it's like, all right, like, I'll trust you on that one. But watching this video, and this is where, like, it's like God is still working stuff out in me. I sometimes have a difficult time, because, like, she's all in. Or just like listening to Heidi Baker, She's all in, and she's just like eyes for Jesus, and it still makes me uncomfortable sometimes how all in she is, and you know, and then the hard thing is the enemy starts accusing the person, so accusing Stephanie or accusing Heidi Baker or accusing other people, and just. No, in the name of Jesus, get out. Now, I pray that we can, I want to continue to walk in discernment. But man, just the Spirit of God, like during that song that we were listening to in the kitchen yesterday, and it was during a Bethel conference.
Reckless Love.
Pardon me?
Reckless Love.
Reckless Love, they were singing, and it was during a conference earlier in this year. And, you know, Bill Johnson got up there as the music was still playing a little bit. And then he just talked about, man, I can't hit that high note, and a little half joking, but the Spirit of God just poured out anew, afresh, and Stephanie starts just hitting the high notes and just adding to the music. And if I'm at that place where if I close my eyes, I can, like, there's no hindrance almost. And just the Spirit, I can actually just, for lack of a better word, feel the Spirit of God on me right now as I think about it, and just Spirit of God pouring out. But sometimes I open my eyes and I get distracted, but I pray that those walls are broken down in my life. Because I'm sure if I could watch me worship sometimes, I would be distracted by me. You know, because there's been more and more moments lately, more and more times of worship in the past 6 months. And again, especially, I keep on mentioning it, but especially since Kelsey and Emily's wedding, you know, like where God is just, those walls, some walls have been broken down and I can worship freely. And yet I think if I could see me, I would be distracted because I still have stuff, that walls that are still built up and I need broken down. Oh, but Lord, whatever it takes. Like, I got my hand in there with you, Morgan. It's like all in. Yeah, let's break. Like, oh, I'm all in today. And I know I still will stumble. And I know I still have stuff. But as much as I can today, I'm all in. And I say, I want those things broken down. And so even sharing before where, okay, something's not... I'm not quite entering in. And if it's a we're not quite entering in, then let it be a we are not quite entering in. If it's just a me, then okay, I'm not quite entering in, but I want to enter in, Lord. And I choose to worship, and I choose to thank, and I choose to sing praises and enter your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. I choose it, even if I don't feel it right now, but I want to feel it too. And I speak against that lie that's out there. I know I've mentioned this before, but I, again, speak against that lie that's out there that, you know, emotionalism. Oh, that's just emotionalism. Now, if it is just emotionalism, there is a problem. But if there is no emotion, then there's also a problem. Because we are meant to worship God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. We are meant to worship God with our bodies, so dancing, raising hands, standing, kneeling, prostrate before the Lord, waving flags, whatever it is. We're meant to worship God with our body. We're meant to worship God with our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions. So as we sing these songs, our lyrics that we write or that we listen to, they're meant to be good, well thought out lyrics, because we want to worship with our mind. We want to worship with true doctrine, but also with our emotion as well. We want the tears to flow, our laughter to come to our mouths, and, you know, just to enter into it fully emotionally. That's part of it as well. And then, of course, the most important part is with our spirit, where there is communion with God's Spirit and with our spirit, where there is an amen, where there is a connection, okay, where there always is connection. I understand that, but where... like everything is connected, and you know you are connected. You know it not just intellectually and not just theologically, but emotionally and even physically, where your body enters into it as well, where there's just this perfect connection. And so when we're, the reason that I brought it up, and I know Candace has brought it up a few times, I know Lil has brought it up a few times in the past, where something's off here or that, it's good to recognize that. And it's this place of, okay, I will continue to walk this path whether I feel the Lord or not, because my feelings aren't going to dictate, but I want to enter in fully. And it's not full right now, right? That's good to recognize it, you know? And if one person is in that place and another person's like, no, I'm fully in, then praise God, then lay hands on that person who's struggling and it's this all in, okay, I'm going to pick you up right now, I'm going to pray for you, I'm going to worship you. I'm going to worship the Lord with you, I mean. And where we are all in together. And again, as the Lord shows things, that maybe are in our, is in our life that is distracting us from Him, or taking away from that full experience of Him. And yes, I use that word very purposefully. I know that we're used to that word here, but again, there's a lie out there that experiencing God is somehow wrong. I don't get that. Relationship is all about experience. We are meant to experience God. And so we want to walk in obedience. We want to walk in love. We want to walk in faithfulness. We want to walk in joy. We want to walk in worship. We want to walk in experience as well. And all those things are our experience, actually. And as the Lord shows us things that are hindering us, whether it's things in our lives, like in general, or things in our thoughts, things that we believe that are incorrect, or even little things, the moment-by-moment things that happen. You know? Like, I got to sometimes remind myself, like, I need to close my eyes sometimes, because even, you know, seeing cute little Kiara just walking by, or when Miriam was carrying her, and she's carrying her to the back, and you know, I took my eyes off of Jesus at one point to just notice how cute she is. And she is. But it's like, but there's a time for everything. And Lord, I want to fix my eyes on you right now, not on Kiara's cuteness. I don't want to give up the best for what is good. Because it's not always about holy and righteous and right and awful and demonic and sinful. You know? Sometimes it's like holy, righteous, and right, and just what's right next to that. And which are you going to choose? And it's this place of, I want to be all in, Lord. I want to be all in. I know for me too, sometimes it's, you know, you, like stuff like, because worship is so much more than music. Worship is so much more than the sound levels. And I know, like, we wanna play, and we want, like, when I'm leading on Monday nights, or when we're leading in the morning, like Sunday mornings, or when we have worship on Thursdays or whenever, we want to play as well as we can. But I know I've got to get my, sometimes because of my musical background, I've got to discipline myself to, okay, get out of the music mode and noticing the music. Oh, that riff sounded really nice. Ooh, that harmony sounds really good. All right, I like that. I could add this harmony, you know? And I could, all of a sudden, my eyes are on which harmony I'm going to choose to add to the song instead of on the Lord. And sometimes it's just, and it's not wrong, because we're supposed to play skillfully before the Lord. It's an interesting study. I had believed for a while, and I've changed it recently. You change as you read you read God's word, and you change according to what you see and what you read. And I used to think, it doesn't matter how we play in that, because it's not about skill level in that. It's about the Spirit of God. That sounds spiritual, but it's not accurate. It is about the Spirit of God, but He also wants us to play skillfully before Him. And people were chosen to worship, and they were called to be skillful at their leading in worship. You know, and so we do want that. So it's good to recognize, ooh, this works. You know, and the way it talks about the worship team set up, there was worship teams in the Old Testament. David set it up, and there actually was. There was 24-hour worship. There was the musicians who had nothing, no other responsibilities. All the other Levites actually had responsibility here, responsibility there, and da da da. But it talked about the worshipers. They had no other responsibilities because they worshipped. They were responsible for the worship day and night. Okay? And so, and they, the way it talks about them is they played skillfully. They practiced. Okay? They practiced and they were good. So we want that. But as I'm worshiping, I don't want that fact. Whether we're doing it well, because it can be, we're doing it well, oh, I'm distracted. You know? Oh, that harmony went up, I'm distracted, shoot. Or sometimes when we hit some wrong notes, and we do hit some wrong notes every once in a while, right? Oh, I'm distracted. It's like, Lord, I just want to fix my eyes on you. And so we practice so that we're not a distraction. We set the sound levels as best we can so that we're not a distraction. So that I can fully enter into worship with you. I carry out my whether it's my life as I go along or even in the moment, in the day. I want to worship you fully. I'm all in, Lord. I'm all in. I want to really encourage that place of examining. Or just actually that place of Lord, have your way. That first song that we sang, be the center. I just want to draw closer and closer to you. Secondly, I also want to encourage, don't settle for anything less. So when we bring up, like, whether it's publicly here when we gather together, and that something's off, or if you notice it privately, whether we're together or at home, when you notice it's not the fullness. And I understand that we have to walk through our days, you know, and there's life. Like, you're not going to be on the top of Mount Sinai, you know, 24/7. You know, chores need to be done, things need to be taken care of. You know, even the Proverbs 31 that I read, you know, it talks about the woman going out and buying a field and you know, selling things at the market and that. You got to concentrate on those things. And I imagine the Mount Sinai, top of the mountain, thunder and smoke and fire. That's not going to be necessarily your 24/7 experience as you're selling things, you know, when I don't know if you're going to market this year then, but selling things in the market, you know. I understand that. But I also want to encourage this place of pressing in where I'm not settling for less. So as we're gathered together, I'm not settling for less. I want it all. I want you, Lord. Even when it's this place of, I'm scared. And we should have those moments. We serve a holy God. We serve a consuming fire. And I don't know if scared is the right word. I can't think of a better one, though. I think there should be this holy fear that we experience every once in a while. I know you're my daddy, but I know you're just bigger and greater than I could ever imagine.
I mean, we're called to fear the Lord, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But being afraid of other things or people is what we're not supposed to be afraid of.
Right.
So, but fearing God,
yeah.
I think that should be a daily, throughout our life thing.
There should be an awe. There should be a wonder. There should be, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, it says. And absolutely. But then, like, I always, I always notice the, they're not contradictions, but they're things that are so, it's a paradox. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and I should walk in the fear of the Lord, but I can also call him daddy. You know, not just father, but daddy, right? And I'm like, how do those two things go together? They do. But don't settle, whether it's with the daddy, the fear of the Lord, whether he chooses to display his glory in such a way where you hide your face, or like John in the book of Revelation, you fall down like a dead man or a dead woman because he's so awesome, or whether he reveals himself as that daddy and you can crawl into his lap and hug him and hold him and bury your head in his chest. You know, just let's not settle for less than what he wants to give. We've talked about a few times about the inheritance that we have. On Tuesday night, we were talking about it again, right? Either this Tuesday or the last Tuesday. And it's this place of we have a full inheritance. He gives us everything, full inheritance, everything that is his. He wants to give it to us. It is ours. He has already given it to us. He wants us to experience it. He wants us to walk it out. Let's not settle for less. You know, when I was watching Stephanie do the worship, lead worship at Bethel there, and I saw the freedom that she walks in and the utter passion for God, it makes me jealous. A holy jealousy. I think there's a place for a holy jealousy. I think there's a place for being inspired by someone else's walk and saying, I want that. I want that. There's a place for looking at someone else, not an unholy comparison. Oh, I'm no good. Look how much he worships. I don't worship like that yet. No, that's not good. But this place of, you know what? Lord, I want to be that close with you. I want that kind of freedom. I want that kind of abandon in my life for you. Or reading about Billy Graham or different people like Reese Howells or Hudson Taylor or whoever, you know, as we listen, as Carly and I have heard hundreds of stories, hundreds of accounts of Randy and Darla's life. No, our calling might not be the same. Our gifting might not be the same as these different people, but this inspiration of God, I want to be that close to you. I want to draw close. I think it's a good thing. I want to be so abandoned to God. And I can say, I'm all in right now, but then I can also think of things where it's like, Lord, I know that some things are holding me back, and I want to be loose from those things. You know, Hebrews 12 comes to mind where you get rid of the sin that so easily entangles, but you get rid of also everything that hinders, even if it's not sin. Get rid of the stuff that's hindering. But don't settle for less. Don't settle for anything less than his fullness. And that's why even as we're worshiping, it's this place of, oh Lord, I know there's more. I've experienced more. I know there's more. One of the interesting things about life, isn't it? I don't know if you've noticed this, but I've shared before where I'm closer to God than I've ever dreamed I would be. Really, I didn't dream I could be this close to God. And yet, even though I'm closer to God than I ever dreamed I would be, I want more. And the interesting thing about life that I was going to say is you experience something, and then you experience something even more glorious. It's hard to go back to, you know, the thing that you at once thought was glorious, but now it's not even glorious compared to the glory that you experience now. And then God takes you to another place of glory, and then the thing that was glorious a month ago, it's actually, that's not even glorious compared to what I experience now. And that's very biblical. It talks about him taking us from glory to glory. Glory to glory to glory. In the book, The Final Quest by Rick Joyner, he talks about entering into the courtroom of heaven, right? And Jesus' throne is at the very front. But he starts at the back. He comes in the back door, if you will, and it's glorious. And he looks at the people there, and they are more beautifully dressed and more glorious than he thought the godliest of saints would ever be dressed and adorned. And it was just magnificent, and he couldn't believe his eyes. But as he continued to walk forward, the next group of people, you know, who were more faithful in their walk, see, the more faithful people were at the front. You go to the next group of people, and they're even more glorious. And then he goes to the next group, and they're even more glorious. And then eventually, after, he doesn't know how long in the vision, he was in the vision, and time didn't matter in the vision. And he said, I could have been there for days or years. It might have taken me years to walk, in the vision itself. He gets to the front, and obviously there is the throne of Christ, and beyond words. And he looks back, and the back, which he used to think was glorious, like when he first saw it was glorious, it looked dull now compared to what he was seeing. God has taken us to places where, quite frankly, there's no going back. I hope you feel that way in your own walk with God. And I pray that he takes me further so that what we're experiencing today of God will seem dull in a year, will seem mundane. And some of you might be thinking, that's weird. That's weird to think that way. I think everything in life should be like that. I've shared before where I think your relationship and your marriages should be growing every single day. Now, again, you might not measure it every single day. Just like a kid who's growing up, you know, wants to be measured, you know, every day. Did I grow last night? You know, and you put the ruler on their head and they stand, trying to stand really tall. If you measure every day, you might not see it. But you measure every few weeks, especially during the growth spurt times. Every few months, you'll see it. I think every relationship should be growing. Our marriages should be growing. Our relationship with our kids should be growing. Our relationship with each other as a church should be growing. But I think what too often happens is we settle. We settle in our relationships. We settle in our churches. We settle with God. There's a phrase, I think I know where it's from, but I'm not sure, but it doesn't matter. And it says, if we're not growing, something in us dies. And I really believe that. And so what I want to encourage is as we grow together, we praise God for the glory that he has shown us. Praise God for what he has given us, and we want to live up to what we have already attained. We want I don't know where that's from in somewhere in the epistles, but we want to live up to the calling we've been given already. That's in Ephesians, but we want to live up to what we've already attained too. We want to live up to the measure of faith that has been given us already, but then we also ask for more. I praise you for the glory that you've shown us, Lord, but I want a further glory. I praise you for how close I am to you, but I want more, Lord. I want more of you. And again, I speak against the lie. There's a lie out there that that's wrong. There are people who actually teach that that prayer is wrong, that it's insulting to God. It's not insulting to God to say to God, I want more of you. Because you're not saying in that moment, What you've given me so far is nothing, and it's worthless. That's not what you're saying. What we're saying is, oh God, what you've given me is amazing. And I love it. And Lord, I see that there's more. I see that there's more. So there's a way, like, yeah, you watch a person like Stephanie leading worship. There's a way to watch that and have an unholy jealousy or an unholy thing come on you, and the way you look at yourself and the way you look at God and the way you look at her. There's an unholy way to look at it. And definitely we need to stay away from that. You need to stay away from that unholy comparison, putting yourself down or putting her down or putting her on a pedestal and putting those things are wrong. Or accusing God, shaking your fist like, God, why don't you do that with us? Rah! That's wrong. But then there's a holy way of looking at it. There's a holy jealousy. There's a holy passion. As I was looking at it, and she's, if you've ever watched her, she's often like this, right? And she's just, it's just her worshiping God. And she's, again, all in. And I look at that, and I'm filled with this holy desire. Oh, God, I want to be fully abandoned like that. I praise God that I've come from a wooden pew sitting worshiper, okay, who then eventually took a step of raising the hand, right? Just eventually got that, and eventually got to the place where I could freely do it. I actually have a picture in my head of us being at Orchard Park, and near the front on the left, okay, near the front of the church on the left, and there's worship going on. I remember, just, again, this faint picture of lifting both hands and just saying, no, I'm abandoned, like, I don't care. And that was abandonment in worship at that point. And it was. I don't want to minimize that either. That was all in. That was hands in, break. Okay, I'm worshiping God. And just freely. I praise God that I've come from a pew-sitting worshiper, right, to now dancing before the Lord, grabbing the flag. I love grabbing the flags, and with different songs even, I go back, nope, this isn't the color for this song for me. Like, I want this color. And I'm glad no one else does, because then we only have one color of each of the big flags. And that. But I'll give it up if anyone feels like they're called to, you know, if I have the green one and you're called to have the green one, I'll give that up. But I look at us dancing before the Lord. I look at us singing before the Lord. I look at us writing music. I want to encourage, just a little aside here, we need to continue to write music. We need to continue to write songs to the Lord. We need to continue to sing them. There's such a beauty in singing a new song to the Lord and singing. Again, you can say this in a wrong way, you can say it in the right way, but singing our songs to the Lord. Like, this is, Lord, what you've laid on our hearts, and we give it to you as a present to you. There's a beauty in that. But I praise God that he has taken me from glory to glory to glory to glory in my worship of him. I praise God that he's taken me from glory to glory to glory in my teaching, in the way I teach. I praise God that he's taken me from glory to glory to glory in how I experience him. And I pray that we would continue. Are there any questions or comments on this?
Kevin, how, just a question, you mentioned earlier you were at the other function and there was some, there's church culture, and there isn't a conservative way, there's church culture,
yep,
and tradition, and so the way you did things growing up, the way, even if it had been in the opposite, let's say you'd been in a Pentecostal church, mm-hmm, growing up, And that meeting you were at last week where there was obviously some other ways of being, I guess. So how do we here protect ourselves? Like, we want it to be God-bred, I guess is the way to say it, okay? And you don't want a cookie cutter or anything, obviously. And you want freedom even for the person who God's maybe putting his finger on something in their heart, and they're sitting down in the corner by themselves dealing with something of God, not bouncing off the walls,
right.
not expressing themselves that way. I guess it's a challenge, but I don't know if there's a checklist to go on. But yeah, I guess that's my concern, is that we can bounce from one group of traditions and ways of doing things. And just because it seems more free, it still hasn't really shifted anything in our hearts.
Right. So anyways. Absolutely. And so, first of all, there's nothing wrong with culture. Unless it directly goes against biblical culture. I mean, first we should have biblical culture. But then we do have different family cultures. And that's fine. Like, a Pentecostal church will look a little bit different than a traditional conservative church. That's fine. Let God deal that out. But I'm not coming against culture. And so it's this place of freedom. But it needs to be put in its proper place. Culture is not godliness. So some of us from a Mennonite brethren background, our parents, and especially our grandparents, grew up thinking that God spoke German. Like, seriously, that to have a worship service in English was ungodly. That's obviously taking your culture too far. There's nothing wrong with worshiping God in German. Nothing wrong at all with that. And especially if that's your heart language, that's your first language, that's great. But being scared of worshiping in English or people worshiping in English, that's something wrong. It's taking your culture too far. So I'm not looking for a culture change. And so even with what I see in Stephanie worshiping at Bethel, it's not that I want to mimic her, because that will not lead anywhere good, right? Like, where if I, okay, she stood like this, she bent her legs a little bit, she turned, and then she tried to hit that high note, you know? No, that's not it. Or she waves her arms like this sometimes, you know? No, that... it's not about that. What I see, we need to look with our spirit, and what I see is freedom. So I want us to have the freedom to dance. I want us to have the freedom to sing. I want to have us the freedom to worship God with all our might. But sometimes that might mean sitting in your chair, just being quiet before Him, and the freedom to do that, and the freedom to let others worship. I don't want us to be jumping up and down in the air if it's just, well, this is what we do during worship. That's because that's, yeah, just culture then. But I want the full freedom, and I know that even though I have gone from glory to glory to glory in my worship of the Lord, it's not yet there fully. It's almost there. It's definitely closer than it's ever been. And I would have almost a few weeks ago said it is fully there, but now the Lord is revealing there's a few more things. And I praise Him for that. So we see with our spirit. We allow the Lord to speak to our spirit, and we discern with our spirit where we are. Does that make sense? Does that make sense to everyone? I really want to encourage you, don't settle. This goes for don't settle in your families. Don't settle in your marriage. Let's not settle in church. I love that God is talking to Carlene about authority, and that even just what we prayed over her, and her asking for forgiveness, me asking for forgiveness, because we're basically saying in that, I don't want to settle. Like, this is by far the best church experience, for lack of a better way to put it, that I have ever been a part of. I am so thankful. I thank God pretty continually for all of you. And I love that we're together, and I love what he's doing, and I hope you feel the same way, but, you know. But I want more. There are, like the one song we used to sing, there are higher heights, there are deeper seas. Whatever you need to do, Lord, do in me. And just please don't settle. You know? Don't settle for your children. Like, don't settle for yourselves. Take it deeper. Go further. I'll share a little bit about us, Car. That's okay. He says. Again, I've shared before where our marriage is such that I never dreamed it could be. Okay? And yet this week, we sat down together just a few days ago and had a little talk, a little chat. Because communication is key. Okay, communication in the marriage, in the families, in the church. Communication. Okay? And I just shared some of my heart. And just how I saw, because I want us to go further. I want us to be closer. And I shared some of, for lack of a better, I won't preach on this. I might preach on it in a few weeks or months or whatever. But a few of my needs. And just what God has been talking to me about needs. And I just communicated those with her. And it was such a good talk. And it's like, okay. We're going to walk this out. We're going to try. I'm going to try. But again, it could be so easy to say, you know what? We're so much better than I ever dreamed we would be. We're good enough. We can just coast the rest of the way. We just coast. No. If you coast, you die eventually. And I would say with us as a church too, just continue to press in. I'll just point out lastly then that vision of putting your hands in. Okay, break. At sporting events, the team doesn't just do that at the beginning of the year. One time. Okay, we're going to have a good season. Everyone hands in. Okay, break. They might do that at the beginning of the season. First practice. Coach, okay, everyone huddle in. Yeah. Good first practice, guys. You know. And I thank those guys who didn't make the team for coming out. You had a good practice too. No, just, you know, and all that. But, okay. Let's put all the hands in here, guys. Okay. I just say guys because I was only on guys' teams. You know. But, like, okay, 1, 2, 3. We're going to have a good year. 1, 2, 3. Break, break. All right. The next practice, we'll do it again. During the game, I have a timeout. I'm thinking basketball right now because it's March Madness for those of you who love basketball. They'll have a timeout. Coach will say some things. Okay. 1, 2, 3, break. Next timeout, 1, 2, 3, break. Next timeout, 1, 2, 3, break. Before the start of the second half, 1, 2, 3, break. And they'll shout some things that are sometimes pertinent to, you know, the end of the game. Say, for instance, is there, and the team is up by 3 points. The coach says, we need a stop here. We need some good defense. So hands in. And on three, defense. 1, 2, 3, defense. Or maybe they're down by 2, and they need a bucket. Okay? 1, 2, 3, score. Or whatever it is they need to be reminded of. But it's a constant thing. It's a constant thing of, I'm all in. Are you all in? I'm all in. Are you all in? I'm all in. Are you all in? I'm all in. I'm all in. I know we get tired sometimes, but we need that reminder. Sometimes it feels like the end of the game and you're sucking wind and when someone comes alongside you, puts their hand on your back, gives you a good slap on the back, you can do it. You can do it. Come on. You can do it. You can do it. Are you all in? Yeah, I'm all in. Okay. So I guess I'll put out the challenge that Morgan put out. I'll reiterate it. Are you all in? Are you all in? Should we have a huddle?
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, Jesus.
Okay. Ah. 1, 2, 3, Jesus. That's it. Come on, let's huddle. See, we've got our first huddler.
Around here.
From the lips of babes. You want the tambourine? The tambourine that you want?
She wants it all.
I like it all. All right. So. I feel like I should pray first, but no, okay. So all for Jesus? Is that a good one?
Yeah.
All right. 1, 2, 3.
All for Jesus!